Okay, I'm going to start by telling you a story that has nothing to do with the message today. But there's a point in it. When I was like 12 or 13 years old, if you guys have heard me very much at all, you know one of the things I'm passionate about is baseball. When I was like 13 years old, we were living in Florida. And Florida is where they have spring training for baseball teams. And I lived in Fort Myers. And Fort Myers, at the time, the Kansas City Royals were having spring training in Fort Myers. And I got a job being the bat boy for the Kansas City Royals. Well, this was like, for me, for a 13-year-old boy, man, this was like the ultimate. I got to be in the locker room. I got the thrill when the game was over. I got to collect all their cleats. And there was three of us. The two older boys, they got to polish the cleats. My job was with a tongue depressor and with a brush to get all the gum out of the cleats. But I didn't care because I was with the ball players and I got to be out there during the game and collect the bats. Does anybody have any idea Harmon Killebrew mean anything to anybody? Okay, there's a few. Good. Okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, Harmon Killebrew is a Hall of Famer. And when I was 13 or 14 years old, he was like in his last year playing as a professional ball player. And he's with the Kansas City Royals. And he's a Hall of Famer. I would talk to any of the ball players. Man, Harmon Killebrew was like, he's a Hall of Famer. You don't go talk to Harmon Killebrew. Well, there was one time when I was standing on the dugout step, and I was just leaning like this, just waiting to go get the bat, and all of a sudden, behind me, I could feel a large presence. And Harmon Killebrew comes up, he kneels down next to me, and he put his arm around me. And it was just like, I don't want this moment to end. A Hall of Famer has his arm around me. And that was just a great memory. And Harmon Killebrew has since passed away, but it just shows you, you just don't understand, you know, the little things that we do, the influence it has on people's lives. But I tell you that for a reason, because I want you to picture the image of that 13 or 14-year-old boy with Harmon Killebrew, and I didn't want that moment to end. Okay, so yesterday morning, I'm laying in bed, sleeping. And again, if you know me, you know on Saturdays, sleeping in to me means, well past 8 o'clock. So it's about 8:15. And I can feel Donna come in. I'm laying on my side, so I'm laying on this shoulder. And I can feel Donna come in, and I can feel her fingers just kind of gently. I can just feel her fingers just gently on this shoulder. And I know that Donna, she's, you know, sometimes when I'm sleeping, I've been aware that Donna, I can just feel her hand, and I know she's praying for me. And so I just could feel those fingers, and I knew that she was praying for me. And so I just laid there as she's praying for me, and I could feel the fingers just moving and doing this. And then all of a sudden, I realized Donna wasn't in the room. I didn't open my eyes and know. I just knew Donna wasn't in the room. And I thought to myself, man, I must just be imagining this. But I could feel, every time I would think, this is just me thinking it, I could feel, you know, I could just feel that the fingers just moving, just gently. And I knew, man, just to know that the Lord is there praying for you, man, it was like Harmon Killebrew. I didn't want that moment to end. But here's the thing, it never does end. You know, I talk about, before we start, and I talk about praise and worship, and we are our own praise leaders. You know what? He's always with us. We're praising him, and we talk about him being in us and dwelling within us. But he's with us at all times. He's in us at all. He's praying for us. Every moment, he's praying for us. So this will be my challenge for you this week. Just be sensitive because he is with you every moment of your day. He's gently praying for you. He's gently just loving on you. But we need to be sensitive to that. So that has absolutely nothing to do with the message at all. But that's the challenge for us this week. Just be aware of his presence and his love for us. Amen? Man, my heart is filled with joy this morning. How about you guys? That really didn't sound all that joyful, but I'll assume that you really are. Lord, I just thank you and praise you as we do look at your word this morning, that you just open up our hearts and our souls. We are open. We want to hear. We want to receive everything. And even in inadequacy of the flesh to share your word, I thank you that as the word is shared, the Holy Spirit, you speak through it to every one of our lives, collectively but also individually. We can take that truth, understand it, and apply it to our lives. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, so last week, I'm going to give you a little bit of review, because if you weren't here last week, I covered a lot of ground that I have to give you a little bit of review so that we're all on the same page. So last week, we examined the grace that we have in being able to return to those places of missed opportunities in Jesus Christ. It is a grace that we have to be able to return to those places of missed opportunities. These are the places where Jesus has already provided victory for us. It's places of victory that we already have, but we just didn't possess it at the time. And these are places that when we return back to them again, when we return, we can make them places that sometimes were places of defeat and sometimes even places of shame. We can go back to those places and we can make them places of victory in Jesus Christ. This is a great blessing, opportunity that he gives us. Now we looked at the example of Jesus and Peter. And Jesus had foreseen that Peter would fail him. He knew that Peter was going to deny him those three times. And this is what Jesus said to Peter in Luke chapter 21, verse number 31 and 32. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you've returned to me, strengthen your brothers." Jesus, seeing that Peter would fail him, seeing Peter's failure, but Jesus, seeing Peter's failure, also saw that Peter would become that rock in Jesus. And so Jesus prayed for Peter. And in his prayer for Peter, he said to Peter, "Peter, when you have returned from sifting," here we see this is a key word for us. We talked about a lot last week. I'm going to mention it a lot today because this is the importance of returning. Jesus said, when you return from your sifting, when you return, strengthen your brothers. And that's what Peter did the rest of his life. We have the grace of being able to return to those places of missed opportunities where Jesus had victories for us. And for whatever reason, we either failed to take it or we overlooked it. We just missed it. But we can go back to those places. They're still places of victory for us. We can go back and get that victory. Amen? Amen. Okay, we also looked at and visited Aphek. Aphek is not a pretty. I'm going to say Aphek a lot this morning, and I'm sorry. It's not a pretty word. But I want us to understand about Aphek because it's imperative for us to understand where we're going today. So we visited Aphek. Aphek is the place in the Old Testament. This is where God had promised the nation of Israel. He promised them a supernatural deliverance over their enemy. But Aphek is also the place where Israel's King Ahab disobeyed God. And so Israel missed that blessing, that deliverance that God had for them. Now, if you go generations beyond that, go generations further, and we see Elijah, the man of God, the prophet of God. And Elijah used Aphek as a reminder to a later king of Israel. He reminded that later king that the still promised victory at Aphek was available for him to possess. Even though generations had passed, the promise that God had was still there, was still available for them. Aphek. Every single one of us has missed opportunities at key moments in our lives. These are the Aphek moments in our lives when we fail to lay hold of those promises, those deliverances, those victories that we have in Jesus Christ. Aphek moments. We miss the opportunity. Can everybody think of something in their minds where you know that you prayed, you'd sought, you stood on the word, you prayed, but you didn't receive it? That promise, when you prayed, it was yours. That promise is still yours today. It's at Aphek. We need to return. And that's the great thing. When we return to our Aphics, when we return to those places of missed opportunities, we can return and we can still grab hold, lay hold, possess those promises, those victories, those deliverances that we have in Jesus Christ. So you think about those places where you've missed opportunities. We can go back. We can still obtain and possess those victories. We also looked at a definition. We looked at several definitions, but we also looked at the definition of the word return. And one of the definitions for the word return, we learned that it doesn't mean a backwards movement. It doesn't mean regression. In fact, it means the opposite. Return means it indicates a forward movement. It's a forward movement because we are going to claim a promise that we had previously missed. We're going forward to claim. It is the act of moving forward. It's that act, that action of laying hold of the promise that Jesus Christ has for us. So it's that forward movement, that forward motion that we have. And finally, last week, we looked at through the life of Naomi. We looked and we saw that Naomi from the book of Ruth. We saw the evidence that even though we are the ones who left the place of promise, we left the place of promise. Even though we're the ones that left the place of promise, when we return to that place of promise, we don't return to diminish promises, and that's what we would expect. We don't return to diminish blessings, and that's what we think that we would deserve. We actually return. When we go back to Aphek, we return to a place of actually better promises in Jesus Christ. Better things. We should be ready to be astounded and amazed at what Jesus has for us. So that's the background. That's last week. Those of you here last week, did I miss anything that was really imperative? Everybody understand the importance of Aphek? All right, we're going to move forward. I guess my first question would be, do you want the chance to return to your Aphek? Do you want the opportunity, the chance to be able to return to your Aphek? To go to your place of having missed an opportunity? Do you want to go to a place where you can undo a past failure, where you can lay hold of a blessing that you might have already missed? Do you want your chance to go back and to be able to receive the fullness of what Jesus has for you? Understand this. Jesus is not withholding anything from any one of us. We have already. He's already given it to us. We return and we possess what he already has for us. We possess what's ours. This is what we're called to do. This is what Jesus has provided for us. Having missed his opportunities doesn't mean that we have disqualified ourselves for his blessings. They're still ours. They still belong to us. Having missed those opportunities, we can still move forward. But here's the problem that we have. If we ourselves don't go back, if we don't return to that place, and if we don't walk into that victory that he's already provided for us, if we don't walk into it, then that Aphek, that place of promise, it can turn into a place of offense, or we can become offended. We can actually take offense. This is one of the reasons that Jesus wants us to return to our Apheks. He wants us to return because every single one of us has stood on the Word of God and believed God for something in our lives, and we haven't seen it come to pass. And the first thing the heart does is become disappointed. The second thing is the heart gets confused. And eventually, the heart can actually become offended at God, offended by the Word itself. That's a hard thing for us to admit. But disappointment that's unresolved will give way to offense. And that's the problem that Naaman had in 2 Kings. Let's look at the story of Naaman. This is 2 Kings chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 9 through 15. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elijah's house. And Elijah sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious, and he went away, and he said, "Indeed, I said to myself, He will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Ahana and the Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and he went away in rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and he dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. And he returned to the man of God and all of his aides. And he came and he stood before him and he said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant." So here we see in the story, Naaman goes to the house of the man of God. This is very similar to us. We do the same thing. We go to God for our blessings. In the Old Testament, Naaman is going to the house of God for his blessings. And Naaman gets offended in part because the man of God doesn't come to him in person and doesn't do things the way that Naaman expected him to do things. We ourselves can get offended. We can get offended when we don't perceive Jesus coming to meet our needs. When we don't see him coming and bringing those things that we expect, we can become offended in the same way. And in the same way that Elijah didn't come out, Jesus doesn't have to come to you to meet your needs. They're already done. He's already met whatever your needs are, from healing to finances to job, emotions, whatever your needs are. He's already met the needs. We just have to receive them. Jesus doesn't have to come down off of his throne of victory. He doesn't have to come down and provide for us. The work is already done. So Naaman had expectations of how he thought this should go. And when things didn't go the way Naaman expected, Naaman was offended and he left. We very often can do the same thing. If we don't see our prayers answered within our time frame, and if we don't see our prayers answered in the way that we expect, we can become offended and we can leave our faith behind and we just keep going forward in life, but without believing, without really having faith, because we've become offended. We've taken an offense. This is what Naaman did. And it's a trap that we can fall into as well. We should learn from what Naaman did. Have you been offended by an unanswered prayer? I mean, just ask yourself, have you ever been offended because of a prayer that was unanswered? Just like Naaman, you have the opportunity to go back. Just like Naaman, you still have the chance to receive the answers, the blessing of Jesus Christ. You still have that same opportunity. Here's the amazing thing. Jesus is still there. He's back at Aphek. He's there with your blessings, with your answer. He's there with it. He's just holding it for us to come back and to receive what he has for us. Naaman and his aides, they came back and they stood before the man of God and they praised the man, they praised the name of Jesus Christ. We need to return. Think about your Aphek's, your places where you prayed and you stood in faith and you believed. Because when you did that, your answer was already given, was provided for you before you even asked. But when you asked, it is yours. So we need to go back to those places, to our Aphek's. Go back to the places of our defeat, of our failure. Go back to those places where we have missed the opportunities. Go back and just like Naaman, have a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving and receive all of those things that Jesus is holding for you, just waiting. I've given you this illustration before, but Moses Vey, one of the great stories he told me, this is my pastor's pastor, one of the great stories he told me was he had a dream, and he was walking in heaven. And as he's walking alongside Jesus. And they're walking down this road, and on either side of them, there are these warehouse after warehouse. The road is lined with warehouses. And Moses said, Jesus, what are these buildings? And Jesus opened up one of the doors and looked inside. You guys remember the first Indiana Jones movie? If you remember at the end of it, when they hid the Ark of the Covenant, they were in that big government building. And as the camera pulls away, I mean, it's just this huge warehouse, and you know no one's ever going to find it because it's that huge. Well, this is what Moses, that was my illustration, not Moses's, but Moses said that in the dream, he had seen this warehouse. They opened up and looked inside, and from floor to ceiling, as far as he could see, it's just things stacked, boxes stacked. And he said to Jesus, what is this? And Jesus said, well, this is someone's warehouse. These are all their answered prayers. They're just here, waiting for delivery. Jesus has already provided everything that we need. We just need to make sure that we go, that we receive those things that he has already provided for us. Now, this leads us to another example in the Word of God, another example about why it's important for us to return to our Aphek's and receive the promises that Jesus has for us at our Aphek's. And we get that story if we go back and we think about Naaman. The one thing we just learned from Naaman, Naaman taught us to have hearts that are thankful. Hearts that are praising him. We have those hearts when we return. And we see that principle expanded. We see that principle being built on in the New Testament story of the 10 lepers. So let's look at that. This is in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Is anybody else hot or is it just me under the lights? It's just me? All right. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And so it was that when they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned. Here's that principle of returning again. Returned, and with a loud voice glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except for this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, that whole section of Scripture, that by itself, there's so much there. We could spend so much time in just that. But here's the things I want you to see just from those verses. First of all, we need to see where they were, because that's important. Where they were actually between the border of Samaria and Israel. The Bible tells us that Jesus was passing through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Well, the word midst, that word actually means in between. It means along the border. It means in the middle of two territories. Here's the thing. When we know that we have failed God in some area of our lives, when we failed to possess a promise that He's given us, when we've become offended with God, when we failed to receive or lay hold or possess those opportunities, we've missed those opportunities that He's given for us, when we do that, we are in no man's land. We're in the midst. We're in no man's land. We're in between. But Jesus wants us. Jesus has for us. He wants us. He'll walk with us. He wants us to not be in that no man's land. He wants us to be walking in all the things. Jesus hasn't rejected us, and Jesus hasn't rejected our blessings. Even when we fail, He hasn't rejected us, not at all. But we are in no man's land. And we're the ones that place ourselves in no man's land. And we do that because we separate ourselves from God when our hearts feel disappointed and our hearts are confused because we haven't seen the answers. We're the ones that put ourselves in no man's land. But this is the beauty of what we see in this. This is the beauty of Jesus Christ. He will come to us. He wants to come where we're at, even when we've placed ourselves in no man's land. He will come to where we are. And He brings us out of that no man's land, and He brings us into that place. He brings us into that place of His blessings. Remember, Jesus had brought to Peter. If you remember, we told the story last week. Jesus had brought to Peter. He brought up the issue of Peter's failure. He brought it up so that Peter could deal with it. He could correct a wrong and make it right. That's the heart of Jesus Christ. He'll meet you in your no man's land. Because He wants you to receive every good thing He has for you. All the things that we may have missed, He wants us to have those things. He wants us to walk into those things. Now, here's something else that we need to notice from the 10 lepers. While they were all healed immediately, and when Jesus spoke those words, they were all healed. While they were all healed immediately, the Word makes it clear that they didn't see the manifestation of that healing immediately. It says that as they went ahead, they were told to go and show themselves to the priest. And as they were walking, as they were traveling, they were healed. So at what point in that travel were they healed? How far did they have to go until the leprosy was gone, until the disease was gone and they were healed? How far did they have to go? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. The Bible just simply says this. It says that they were cleansed as they went. They just had to go forward. Now here's the thing. Those 10 could have taken offense. They had the opportunity to be offended at Jesus because Jesus indicated to them that they were healed. That's the only reason He would have said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest," because you only go to the priest because the priest has to declare you clean before you can be reintroduced into society again if you're a leper. They had the opportunity to be offended. They could have taken the opportunity to be offended at Jesus when they didn't see the healing right away, and they didn't. They walked a certain distance before they saw it. They could have taken offense at Jesus when they didn't see it right away, and they would have missed their blessing, but they didn't. They kept on moving towards the priest. They kept on walking. They went forward in faith. Despite what they saw, despite appearances, they moved forward in faith until they received the promise that they had in Jesus Christ. In life, every one of us is going to have lots of opportunities to take offense. Every one of us is going to have opportunities to be offended, because there's going to be times that we pray for things and we don't see those things manifested instantly. Now, again, that's another whole message on why those things happen, and that's not my point today. But you're going to have lots of opportunities to be offended in life when you don't see things taking place. Don't take advantage of the opportunity. Don't take the opportunity to be offended when it comes. Instead, you keep moving towards your AFIC in faith. Keep that forward advance movement. Now, we also, again, remember, we saw that when Naaman returned with a thankful heart. We have to have that thankful heart. When we return to our AFIC to lay hold of those things he has for us, we have to return. We have to have that thankful heart. Well, here, once again, in this story, we see that same example. We see that example of tying together the thankful heart with the returning to a place of missed opportunities. Now, all 10 of those lepers, all 10 of them were healed immediately. They were all healed, right? But there's only one that returned to Jesus Christ. And the one that returned to Jesus Christ returned because he knew he missed an opportunity. He was healed. The disease was gone. He was no longer a leper. But the fact of the matter is, his body was still ravaged by the scars of the disease. This is what leprosy does. Leprosy destroys the nerves. And so parts of the body just die. Fingers, toes, ears, nose, they die and they're lost. The disease of leprosy takes a permanent toll upon the body. Now, this one who returned, he had been healed, right? But he'd not yet been restored. That's the difference. And this is the important. When we come back to those AFIC, those places of missed opportunities, those places where there's promises, your victory, your deliverances are there already waiting for you, we need to come back with that heart of praise, that heart of gratitude. Because he returned. He returned with a thankful heart. All the others were healed, but he was the only one that was restored. He was the only one that was made well. He was the only one that was made whole once again in his body. When you look at the word well in that verse, when it says made well, he was made well. When you look at that word in the Greek, in part what that word means is to cure, to heal, to restore to health. The others were healed, but they still had to deal with their bodies, which had been ravaged by leprosy. He's the only one that was not only healed and no longer a leper, but he was restored. Lost fingers, lost body parts, restored. He's made whole once again. This is what Jesus has for us. This is why it's so important for us to realize those places of AFIC in our lives where we have promises of Jesus Christ. And if we haven't received them, we can still go back to those places and lay hold of them, because there's still promises that Jesus has for us. There's still things that he has for us. When you return to your place of AFIC, when you return to that place where either I failed or I just missed the opportunity, when we return to our AFIC, we don't go back in shame. We go back with a thankful heart. And we go back with an expectancy that we're going to be made whole. We're going to walk in the wholeness and the fullness that Jesus Christ has for us. Now, we can all look back and we can see those AFIC moments in our lives. We can look back at those AFIC moments and we can be discouraged. We can count that as, we can look at it as loss, but we shouldn't. We should see those AFICs for what they are. They're signposts that point us in the direction of the victory that Jesus has already established and provided for you. That's what we should be seeing. That's what we should see it as, and that's where we should be headed, headed towards those things that Jesus has for us. Just like Jesus, pointing out to Peter his failure, he did it so that Peter had the opportunity to take a defeat and turn it into a victory. Jesus confronted Peter with his failure so he could turn that loss into gain and into victory. This is what we need to be doing. Here's another definition we looked at last week. Another definition for the word return. I'm going to read it to you. I love this. It says, something played in order to provide the loser of an earlier gain with the opportunity to win from the same opponent. A return match. A rematch. You may have lost at your AFIC in the past. You may have previously lost to Satan, your opponent, at that spot, at that AFIC. You may have lost, but you're returning. You're returning for that return match that he fears because you're returning to enforce his defeat and your victory. This is why it's important for us to see those AFICs, to know those places, and to go back and receive those things. You know, if you weren't here last week, I don't usually share a lot of some personal things. But I shared with you a personal experience of an AFIC that I had missed. And for 20-some years, I didn't receive it. But I did go back. I saw that AFIC. I knew the promise was there. And I laid hold of it. I went back and I claimed the victory that I had in Jesus Christ. We need to see those AFICs in our lives. We need to see where they are and go back and claim those victories that we have in Jesus Christ. Your AFIC is not a place of defeat. Your AFIC is a place of opportunity where you can lay hold of those things and claim them as your own because Jesus has provided them for you. Amen? This is what AFICs are for us. That's how we should see them. They should be exciting times for us. All right, one last thing to consider. In the Gospels, before Jesus fed the 5,000, the disciples came to Jesus, and the disciples told Jesus to send the people away so that they could feed themselves. And Jesus said, they don't need to go away. You feed them. And those disciples had the opportunity to both watch and participate in that supernatural, in the miraculous feeding of the 5,000. Now, that story takes place in Matthew chapter 14. If you go ahead one more chapter into Matthew chapter 15, if you go to Matthew chapter 15, you're going to see the same kind of story. Similar story in the wilderness, but now there's 4,000 people gathered together. And at that time, Jesus expresses the same desire to his disciples that the people not be sent home. He expresses that, and the disciples respond by saying, where will we get enough bread? They just seen it, and they missed the opportunity. Jesus takes the opportunity. He teaches us something once, and then he gives us the opportunity to act upon what we experienced with him. He gives us that chance. The disciples had the chance to return where he had taught them something. They had the chance to return and to make right a previous failure. Now, Jesus did feed the 4,000, but the disciples obviously had failed again miserably. The only ones that care about the number of times that we fail is us. Jesus doesn't care how many times we failed to lay hold of those promises. He doesn't care. Jesus is always ready. Jesus is always willing to return with us back to that place of AFIC, to where with him we can lay hold of the victories that he has for us. That's what Jesus desires for us. Let's look at one final verse this morning. Never quit. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 21. Never quit. When you have AFICs, never quit until you've possessed. Never quit until you've possessed. Return to your AFICs until you have apprehended your victory. Doesn't matter how many times. Go back until you have what Jesus paid a very high price for you to have. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 21. I'm reading this from the Amplified Bible. I've upset a lot of children this morning. Man. I don't usually have that effect on. Strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good that you may carry out His will, while He Himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ the Messiah, to whom be the glory forever and ever to the ages of the ages. Amen. So be it. Now, I'm going to go back and read that verse to you again in just a second, but I want you to see something. In the verse that immediately precedes this, it makes it clear that this verse is talking about the God of peace and what the God of peace will do for you. He's the God of peace. He's not a God of turmoil. God has purposes and plans for your life. God has purposes and plans for your life, and they require a very specific skill set. And He is very patiently spending time throughout our lives preparing us, building that skill set into us. Now, let me read that again. Strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you. This is what Jesus does. This is why we need to go back to those affix and lay hold of all those victories that we missed. Because when we know that we have those victories, it just strengthens us and encourages us to be strong and to grab hold of more. Strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good that you may carry out His will, while He Himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ the Messiah, to whom be glory forever and ever to the ages of the ages. Amen. Return to Aphek. He's strengthening, He's completing, He's perfecting you. When we return to those places of our defeat and turn them into victories in Jesus Christ, that's how we grow. He's creating a specific skill set in each one of us, but we learn by going back to those places where we have come short before and laying hold of those promises, taking all those things, all those victories, deliverances that He has for us. We grow in that. He's making you ready. He's equipping you with everything that you need so that you can carry out His will for your life. This is what He said to Peter. After you have returned, strengthen my brothers. It goes back to what we were talking about a few weeks ago. This is what Jesus said. Feed my sheep. Part of being prepared for that is identifying our affix, the places of failure or missed opportunities, going back and laying hold of possessing those victories, those promises. Amen? You guys understand that? Jesus, I thank You and I praise You. Holy Spirit, I thank You that You just show each one of us. As we go through today and this week, You show each one of us, show us, identify to us. Even those places that maybe years ago we prayed and we didn't receive. And so like I did in the example I gave last week, I just accepted that's just the way that it is. And I went forward in life. But You reminded me and You brought me back to that place of affix so that I could lay hold of the victory that You had for me. Show each one of us those affix, those places where we have yet not procured, laid hold of, taken possession of Your victories for us, that we might return with You to those affix and lay hold of all of those blessings You have for us. We thank You and praise You. It's in Your name, Jesus. You be glorified. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and praise and worship this morning.